A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Welcome to the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory. Know someone who is making an impact for God's kingdom using their gifts, talents, and passions? We'd love to meet them. Send us an email at podcast@giftsforglory.com. That's podcast@gifts4glory.com. And now here is our host, Dave Ebert.
Hello, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the latest edition of the Gifts for Glory podcast. I'm Dave Ebert, and I'm really excited to share this episode with you. We have a great conversation with my good friend, Yvette Walker. She's an award-winning journalist and educator. She's a writer, a blogger, a lyricist of Christian songs, and her venture into podcasting this year came as she felt a yearning to do something creative, to use her talents and passions, especially in this time of the pandemic. And her podcast is called Positively Joy, and she is a positively joyful person to speak with, and you're really going to enjoy this conversation as we talk about podcasting, faith, and the journey in 2020 and hopefully beyond. So I hope you're really going to enjoy this conversation. I really believe you will. We're going to jump right in this week's Devotions with Dave segment. This is a passage of scripture that's been on my heart for a few weeks, and I just wanted to share it with you today. I'm going to be reading Psalm 42. Psalm 42, starting verse 1. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas, as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones, they scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God, I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now, we have been talking about hope and finding joy. And this episode of this podcast, we talk about joy. But I wanted to read Psalm 42 because it's a perfect representation of how our relationship with God can and should be. The psalmist here is lamenting. There are struggles. There are fears. There are anguishes. There are torments. The heart is weak. The flesh is weak. But still the psalmist remembers and reminds himself that God is worthy to be praised. There's hope. Even in verse 4, it says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. So there in verse 4, it's like a lament, like it used to be so good. And I just want to encourage you that God is a big God. When you're struggling, when you're having these moments like this psalmist is having, be honest. God's got broad shoulders. He's got a huge heart. Be honest. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you're wrestling with. And I want to encourage you that in this psalm, it's not about this psalm is depressing or this psalm is lacking in hope. It's actually quite the opposite. We can be honest with our Father in heaven. We can talk to him bluntly and say, hey, God, we're struggling. I'm struggling. My family's struggling. And he can hear, and he will hear from heaven. So there's hope in that. There's hope knowing that our God does not shy away from the struggles that we have. In fact, he wants us to lean into him in those struggles. So even when you're discouraged, or especially, most especially, when you're feeling discouraged, or you're feeling weak, or you're feeling down or depressed, that's the last moment you should pull away from God. That's when you need to put your pedal to the metal and floor it right to his feet and seek refuge at the feet of the God Almighty, the Father in heaven that loves you. Things are hard. This year, 2020, has been really hard for a lot of people. Whether you've been directly affected by the virus or you've been affected by the response to the virus, whether you've lost work or you've lost contact with families, or the political season has caused arguments and rifts and division in your family or in your church. It's been a rough year. And it's okay to be honest with God about it. You don't have to put up a front. You don't have to pretend, oh, I got to talk to God and pretend like everything's hunky-dory. Don't lie to God. He already knows. He already knows what's on your heart. He already knows what's burdening you. So there's hope in that. There's hope in knowing that you can't lie to him. So don't even try. There's hope in knowing that he already knows. And he's right there. He just wants that relationship with you. He wants to have that conversation. He wants to have that dialogue. He wants to build that hope. So yeah, Psalm 42, reading it, it sounds kind of depressing, kind of down. But here's the truth. God is in control. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to rely not on our own strength and not on our own understanding, but on him and his understanding and his strength. So verse 5, the question goes, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Why? Because as verse 5 continues, Psalmist says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. So why be discouraged? Why let your heart be sad? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in the eternal hope of God. And I can't promise everything's going to be okay. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be some down times. But that's where the hope comes from, because no matter what happens in this world, our Lord has overcome the world. And there's hope in that. So that was Psalm 42. I hope that the hope that I was trying to share came through loud and clear. For those of you listening, you're wondering, yeah, my voice is a little bit weak. I'm just recovering from the COVID virus. So my voice is a little bit weaker, so I haven't been able to really dive in the way I want to during this Devotions with Dave segment. But in my weakness, he is strong, and his word will not return void. So Psalm 42, spend some time deep diving into the Psalms and realizing that it's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to be honest with your feelings. It's okay to lament. It's okay to fear. It's okay to struggle. God's a big God. He's there to hear you. He's there to carry you through. He is the source of all hope. So as we wrap up the 2020 year and get ready for the new year, my hope is that you will find that hope, that eternal, endless, unquenchable hope that is available in God through Jesus Christ. So that is our Devotions with Dave segment, Psalm 42. I hope it spoke to you the way it spoke to me. I hope that you have a hopeful holiday season as we wrap up this horrendous year. Now, let's get to joy. Positively Joy. That's the name of the podcast. And our hosts or the host of the podcast, is Yvette Walker. She's an amazing sister in the Lord. Really enjoyed this conversation. I think you're going to enjoy it as well. We're talking about Positively Joy podcast, faith, and just God in general and how God is so good. So I hope you enjoy this interview as we bring on Yvette Walker on the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory. And now joining us on the Gifts for Glory podcast is Yvette Walker. She is a fellow podcaster. She's a sister in Christ. She is just a phenomenal person. I had the joy of being on her podcast, which you can check out. We'll have that in the show notes as well to link to that interview. And I'm just blessed to have her on our show to talk about her faith, her podcast, which is called Positively Joy, which is exactly what Jesus and what the Holy Spirit and what God wants for us is joy, not happiness, because happiness is fleeting, but joy, that can be eternal. And we're going to talk about that and so much more. Yvette, welcome to the Gifts for Glory podcast. How are you today?
I am good. I was going to say amen. Amen, Dave. You are exactly right. I am very well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. This is actually the maiden voyage. My birthday was recently, and Yvette can see it because we're recording via Zoom with video. You're only hearing the audio, obviously. But I got a brand new microphone that my wife bought me for my birthday. So this is the maiden voyage, and am I coming through okay?
Yes, you sound great, and it's beautiful.
I should actually get myself out of the video camera and just highlight the this new microphone. I feel professional, even with my cat blanket behind us. I feel uh-huh. So Positively Joy, that's your podcast. And based on the word on the wall behind you, joy is a huge part of your life. So how did the podcast start, and what's its purpose, or what's your vision for it?
Yeah. So like a lot of people, I think we've been doing a lot of reflection this year. 2020 has been a really interesting, and usually when we use the word interesting, we don't mean something good, but it's been an interesting year. But I would say it has been good for a lot of people, just because sometimes we've had the opportunity to step back and reflect a little bit. And I understand that it has been difficult for many people. Many people have not been able to work from home. I was very fortunate to be able to work from home. And so during that time, I had really always wanted to start a podcast. And it just seemed like it was so difficult. I work at a university where there is a podcast audio studio, you know, perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But there never seemed to be the right time. It always seemed too complicated. The audio board was just crazy. And even though there was someone there to work with me, there was just always an excuse. When I was home in May, and actually I was home since March, and then I would say probably maybe end of April, early May, I realized that I actually had software on my computer that I like to say I knew enough just to be dangerous to start something. And I said, great, I'm going to start this podcast that I always wanted to do. And the subject matter was not what it is today. It was on what I like to call the intersection of politics, beauty, and hair. Because I like to talk about how and not just women, men too, but how we're perceived and how it all means and what it all means. And it's a really interesting subject, and maybe I will do that. But God said, no, you're going to talk about joy. And I said, okay, I will do that. I like to say that I'm a very positive person. And, you know, but it's interesting. I had struggled with contentment. Mm-hmm. Just never feeling fully satisfied. And so that is something that I had been kind of working on for a while, even though I've known God, had God in my life, been a believer for a long, long time. We'll get into that in a minute. But doing this, I've been able to reflect and also talk to so many people who have found joy in their life, who have struggled through some times and wound up on the other side of things. And in a couple of cases are still in the valleys and not on the hills yet, but they are looking. to that because God's leading them through. And so this experience has been really, really wonderful. And yes, I know that positively joy is not grammatically correct, but that's the word God gave me, and that's what I'm going with.
And you are a you work as a professor, right, at the university? Mm-hmm. What's yes. your subject or what specialty?
So I was a journalist for so many years. I won't give away my age. And so now I am teaching media and media ethics, which is why I have to put the little plug in for I know my grammar. But it's interesting. The word came. First, the word joy came, and then positively. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go with that.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny how God works. He's challenging you because, you know, you work so much with being perfect and focusing on grammar and doing the right thing. He's like, hey, guess what? I'm going to mix it up and challenge you a little bit, stretch you. And positively, even though it doesn't work by the rules, it sounds good. It sounds
it fun. Does. It does, doesn't it? I have come to be good with that.
And it was a positively joyous experience chatting with you on your end. And you got to dive deep into my brain and my history. And we're going to do that for you as well. So I'm going to be your Dr. Phil and let you just tell me about your experience. but seriously, how did you come to your faith and knowing Jesus as your Savior? Was it an easy road? Did you grow up in a Christian home? How did that all come together for you?
Well, it probably is, nothing's easy. It's probably easier than a lot of other people. I did grow up in a Christian home. I was raised Catholic in Chicago. I was baptized as a baby, so cradle Catholic, as they like to say. Mm-hmm. And so went to Catholic elementary school. Went to Catholic high school. So I have been in his arms for a long time. And so I've known him, but I would say that over the years, as we move from childhood to adulthood, our brain just gets filled with so much other stuff that we make less time for him. And in some cases, stop hearing him altogether. And that was my dilemma. I felt like when I was a little girl, I would spend a lot of time in church. I would go to church when I had some free time. I loved being in church. I loved sitting on those wooden pews and hearing the noises against the stone walls and the stone floors. That was a real sanctuary for me. I loved it. And I felt like I could really hear him at that time. And then when I became an adult, graduated college and started moving around, I realized that I was, and probably even before then, but I realized I was not, in my mind, hearing him either as well as I used to or altogether. And so I remember I would, I would go, like when I was out of college working in different places, I moved around a lot because I worked for newspapers. And in the newspaper world, you tend to stay at one paper for a long time or you move around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I did the latter. And I would come to new cities where I didn't know anybody and I would just go find churches. And I would just sit in churches again, trying to find that connection. I knew he was there. I knew he was still protecting me. I knew all that, but the connection didn't feel the same.
Right.
And so I remember going to a church in Kansas City one time. I used to work in Kansas City, but I had moved, and I was there for a visit, and my then boyfriend, now husband, went to a church with me. It was a church that I'd never gone to when I was actually living there, but I'd heard about it. Amazing. It's called Jacob's Well, if anybody knows it out there. And it was amazing service, and I just broke down. I cried like a baby in the middle of that service. And as we were coming out, I was telling Tim, my now husband, I feel like I don't hear him, you know, like I used to. And he said, I think you just did. And so that's something that I've been thinking about a lot and trying to really open myself up to. Last year, I went to a Christian retreat that stretched me in a way that I had never really been stretched before, and probably is really the reason behind the podcast. I mean, I always say the podcast was, you know, birth of the pandemic, but I would say this retreat that I went on at that time really opened me up and really found me listening more in a way I hadn't before, and really tapping into creativity that I had not tapped in before. Because when I was a journalist, I wrote news, I edited news. Occasionally I would write a feature story, but I had never used my gifts in his honor, in his glory. And so that's what I said I wanted to do. And so the podcast has kind of come out of all that.
So it sounds like you kind of entered into a desert, but you didn't realize you were in a desert until that church service. And God's like, hey, it's been kind of dry for a while. Why don't you, come home? And the desert was flooded with the tears of God's reawakening in you.
That is so good. Yes. I love that. And you're right. Again, I knew he was there. I mean, I never thought that he was gone, but I just felt like for whatever reason, I figured it was my fault. The connection was gone. And that made me really sad. It made me sad to think that I didn't have that connection. And then I began to wonder, is that the only kind of connection, or rather, can we have a connection like that only when we're children or only when we're young? Because we're young and innocent and we don't have this world flooding our minds all the time. And I probably just became content with that, but it wasn't real contentment. It was not at all. And so now, yeah, definitely I have a sign up on my back wall that says joy, and definitely feeling that in a way that I haven't felt in a long time.
And the relationship with God is so much like our interpersonal relationships, in that sometimes life just gets in the way and a day separated becomes a week separated. And then suddenly you look back and there's a month or even a year where you're like, wow, we've not had much time together. And I think that marriage is a perfect example where being busy, letting life and dreams get in the way, suddenly you're like, I need to really connect with my spouse again. I think that that's how God works. And that's why we're called the bride of Christ, is sometimes we just have to reconnect and rekindle that relationship and almost find a way to take another honeymoon just so that we can get back to where we started.
I think you're right. And just like any friendship or relationship, you have to work at it. But unlike some people, God is always there. Exactly. Some people will hang with you, and some people will leave you, even if you're not working at it. But even if it takes years before you get back, God is still there. He's just been waiting.
Yeah, he's waiting there, sometimes tapping his finger. Sometimes he'll, kind of pat you on the back of the head or smack you on the back of the head. And that wakes you up.
Yeah, that is right. I think there were a couple of those times.
All right. So you enter this pandemic area where you're not working yet at the college. So you're kind of sitting at home. How long into this, this time out that we all were put in, did you start thinking like, I need to put something out? Because you said you started in one direction and then God kind of changed it. So how long into being at home did Positively Joy get birthed?
So I would say, so really it was the week after spring break that we all came home, right? And I've been working from home. I mean, I was able to work from home, again, very fortunate. But I was talking to a friend of mine who had a new blog, and this turned out to be my first interview. She's a wonderful woman, Teresa Taylor Williams. She put a new blog out called Praises in the Pandemic. And I thought, wow, that's a great blog, and it really is good, and I encourage everybody to check it out. I happened to call her and say, hey, how you doing? I love your new blog. And she had been diagnosed with COVID. She was the first person that I knew to have COVID. And at that time, that very first person you come into contact with, not physical, but that you know about, it's very scary because we don't really know what's going to happen. Right now, even though it is very scary, we've seen it more. But this was early on, and I was very concerned for her. And she has this blog, and God knew, because even though she had no idea she was going to contract COVID, she realized that a lot of people were anxious and or depressed or having some struggles. And so even though through this desert, as you said, she wanted to do this blog to say, even though we must praise him. Yeah. And then she gets COVID. So I talked with her. Again, she was the very first episode, very first interview about it. And it was a great conversation. You know, we like to laugh a lot. I like to laugh on the show. And so even though it was this tough, you know, this tough subject, we laughed a lot. And she's doing well. And she did see the other side. She's fine. Yeah. But so I would say, you know, I knew about her blog, and then probably April. So the next month, I was like, okay, I think I can do this. Let me start planning a little bit. And then the very first episode was in May.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for your podcast? Do you do a lot of research, or are you more just let the Lord lead the conversation, or a little both?
So in the beginning, definitely off the cuff, I will be completely honest with you. I like to do two shows a week. So I do one on Monday, which is usually just a solo effort, me chatting about things completely off the cuff. And then my Thursday show is an interview. So for my Thursday show, I would research the person. I would know. I mean, and they began being a lot of friends of mine that I thought were doing really interesting things. So they're still, even though I know them, they're still good shows. But I knew them more, so I didn't have to do as much research. But now the solo shows, I've decided I need to research more. I'm going through some training at the church that I go to, and we're learning lots of really interesting stuff. And I figure that God is putting me there and putting this information in front of me to do something with. So now I am preparing more. I'm researching more. I am writing scripts for the show, which I don't always like. I think it's more conversational just to chat like this, which is really, I really like the interviews. Mm-hmm. But to avoid the ums and uhs, I do try to write that out now. And so I am doing more of those types of solo efforts on Mondays. And I just began one this week that I think I'm excited about, and I think it's gonna be really good. And that's the Talks of Jesus. I'm calling them Jesus's pep talks. Mm-hmm. And any good leader knows how to give a good pep talk. And so what does that look like? So this first week, we unpacked the Sermon on the Mount. Next week, we're going to talk about parables. And then the final week, we're going to talk about what they call the Olivet Discourse, toward the end of Jesus's time on earth.
Yeah. So those are pretty impactful. I mean, those are great speeches that he gave, and it would be easy to probably do multiple weeks on each one, especially the Sermon on the Mount, because it's relatively brief, but there's so much you can unpack from those things.
Oh, I know. And I try, my interview shows are a little longer there. I try not to let them go more than 40 minutes. My solo shows, I try to keep them under 20. And because I have a new feature this season, we're in season two, mm-hmm. where I have a wonderful woman named Angel McCoy actually reading the Bible. She has a podcast called Angel Reads the Bible, which is a great, great title. And she is reading the Bible on my show. So I'm trying not to make my solo efforts so long. So you're right. You could spend a lot of time with the Beatitudes, but I think I tried to keep it under 10 minutes. So we went through it fairly quickly, but there's a lot in there, and there's a lot of questions. People wonder what he meant by things, and you do need to reflect on that and do a little research and see what other biblical scholars think. And so that was really, really interesting. The parables are just our talks. They're smaller talks, you know, where he's talking to sometimes large crowds, but sometimes just his inner circle. But still, there's a lot in there. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to do one show on the parables. Clearly, I'm not going to do all those parables, but I'm definitely going to try and do a few. I don't know. Maybe we'll stretch that out to 2 weeks. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, Jesus was, I mean, he's God, so he's the master at teaching, and mm-hmm. there's purpose behind each word that he uses, and there's a purpose behind the order. There's nothing that's wasted and nothing that he said that is accidental. So you could read the red letters throughout the Bible and just get so much And so those would be really exciting to hear. Now, how did you connect with Angel and get her as, that basically a guest to just read the Bible? How did that mm-hmm. connection happen?
So I felt that God was telling me I needed to have more scripture on the show. Mm-hmm. And I could do that myself. I could read that. And, you know, like I said, Monday's show, there's a lot of scripture because we actually talk about, you know, what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. And then she reads. But before that, it was just lots of different issues and things I was discussing. And so I felt like I heard him say, you know, you need to get more me in there, more of my word. And mm-hmm. so, again, I was going to just read it myself. But I went to a virtual event called PodFest where I met a lot of great, great podcasters. And Angel was one. And we just chatted, and I when I found out what she was doing, I was like, that is great. I'm like, do you ever think you maybe want to actually read on my show? And she was like, oh, yeah, I'd be happy to send you some. And I said, do you think you want to do it every week? She said, okay. She was pregnant at the time. In fact, she was very pregnant. And so I told her, well, make sure you get me at least 5 weeks before before you have this baby. but she's had the baby, and she's had a little girl who is beautiful and healthy. And so I think I have maybe one or two of her readings left. So I have to get some more from her. But she's doing really well. And when you listen to her, you know, she's always said that people tell her that she brings the Bible alive. And you may just hear that and say, yeah, that's right. But she does. I mean, her voice and the way her inflections, very different than mine. I mean, you'll hear me and then you'll hear her and you'll say, yeah, no, that's better. It's better than she's reading the Bible. So that was really fun. She agreed to it. And that was really pretty much it, which tells you that was a God thing. We didn't have to, there were no contracts. We didn't have to work anything out. I mean, it was just very, very easy. I said, will you send me some MP3s? And she said, sure.
So it's basically, she just legitimately just reading the Bible. Is she offering any commentary or?
So most of the times, yes, there's a couple that she sent me where there's no commentary, but for those I refer to it, or I may refer to it in the piece where I talk. But yeah, but the commentary is short. It is, mm-hmm. you know, even when she does it, it is pretty much just hearing his word. And we just need to hear more of that. We need to read the Bible every day. What I like about what she does is she's not just reading a little slip of words. It's great, and I do this too. I take a quote or two and post it on the Facebook page we have called Positively Joy Community. But what she does is she reads either a whole chapter or a significant part of a chapter where you can really get the context behind mm-hmm. just the famous words. And so that's what I like in what she does.
Yeah, context is so vitally important because I'm sure you've seen millions of times where somebody will quote scripture trying to be inspirational and you're like, no, that's not what that means. No, that's misuse. I think it was Luke 4:7 or something where it says, if you worship me, all this will be given to you. And I've seen that on an inspirational calendar, but that's actually the devil tempting Jesus. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, you need the context. That's not good.
Oh no. Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. Well, and the one, and I don't remember where this is, but the one that says that I will give you the desires of your heart. And that's, yeah, once you become aligned with me, mm-hmm. then the desires of your heart will be what I want anyway. So,
right, exactly.
So, God saying, I will give you the desires of your heart just doesn't mean I'm going to drop, a Mazda down in your driveway. It means you need to understand and get aligned with me, and then you'll be very happy with what I want you to do.
And you'll be feeling positively joy, and you won't have to worry about the material.
That is right. That is right.
And in this day and age with so much division and especially this electoral season that we're going through, there's a lot of 2 Chronicles 7:14 out there where people are like, God heal our land. And they're missing that first half where it says, pray, repent, seek my face and turn away from your wicked ways. Then I'll hear and heal your land. Mm-hmm. They forget mm-hmm. that first clause. And we can just hope that we would be eligible and God would heal our land, but we have to repent as a nation because there's just so much division in, that's why I'm taking a break off Facebook because it's just like, there's so much. But yeah, context is so important, and that's, you know, it's a really great asset on a podcast is to have somebody just sharing the scripture and sharing it with the context. When I first started my podcast, I was just diving right into interviews, and then God kind of said the same thing to me is, you need some scripture, you need something in there. So each show I open with a devotions with Dave, where I pick a passage and, you know, I share from what I understand of it. And maybe I could be wrong, but I'm still growing, I'm still learning. And if I ever find out that I said something that misrepresents scripture, I'll go back and I'll say, hey, by the way, on episode 96 or whatever it was, I said this and it was wrong.
But you know, like you say, we're still growing, and he wants us to, you know, he wants us just to read more. And that's why this training I'm undergoing, he's just, I mean, there's just so much really good material in front of me right now. And I was like, wow, this is really great. And if I truly embrace it and learn it enough to be able to tell others, then I, you know, I will gain that, you know, even more and more. And so Living God's Word is the textbook I'm reading right now, which is so good. Lots of context. It's just taking you through the whole Bible and just what was going on at the time, and just lots of interesting little, side roads where you're like, hey, did you know this? And just letting us know what was happening in the region at the time or whatever. I mean, it's just really, really good. And now we're going into a book that's actually a secular book, but the five steps of leader, the five levels of leadership. Mm. And again, Jesus was such a leader. It's really interesting thinking about leadership in terms of what he was able to accomplish.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just really interested in a lot of things right now, and hopefully that will come forth in the show.
Absolutely. So with Positively Joy, you've had guests, and you also did solo. What is, if somebody wanted to listen to one episode or one interview to get, you know, the full gist of what your show is about, what show would you recommend, or what episode would you recommend?
So there's, I think there's kind of two categories. One is if you want a show that's just really fun to listen to, and there's good conversation and lots of laughing, besides the show that you and I did. I say listen to the Hamilton show. So Hamilton, the musical, obviously very popular, has a lot of biblical biblical phrases, biblical quotations and words in there. And so I talked to a history teacher who happens to be an old friend of mine who is also an elder in the Methodist church. And she actually married my husband and myself, so I've known her for a long time. And she's a history teacher, so we unpacked the biblical phrasing in Hamilton. And that was really, really fun. It was really good. And then for also a really fun show, but more inspirational, I'd say I'd go back even to the first one. I'm going to have to revisit with Teresa because she's such a great guest. Mm-hmm. And she's healed now, which is wonderful. But she's such a believer. And at that time, because she was walking through that valley and didn't know what was going to happen to her, just to hear a woman of faith, and she trusts God so much. I say that first one. That first episode was so new, I didn't even have a title yet. I think I called it Finding Joy in the very first episode. In fact, I know I did. I called it Finding Joy. And then I realized that I needed to change it. And so it will say Finding Joy in that very first episode. But yeah, I'd say maybe go back to the beginning. I need to have her on the show again. She's a great guest.
And since she's a woman of faith, woman of God, and she's been healed from the virus, mm-hmm. you could say that she's been COVID by the blood.
Oh, no. You've got to get one in, right? One per episode.
Yeah.
That's good. That's pretty good, actually.
More of the Gifts for Glory podcast in just a moment. Our host, Dave Ebert, is now accepting bookings for your next event. Dave specializes in improv coaching to improve self-esteem, team camaraderie, communication, creativity, and developing your own unique voice. Improv is an amazing tool to learn how to listen actively, respond appropriately, and communicate more efficiently, all while having an absolute blast. For churches and ministries, ask about our Improv Your Witness workshop, designed to get you out of your own way when sharing the gospel and your testimony. For information, contact booking at giftsforglory.com. Booking at gifts, the number 4, glory.com. Booking at giftsforglory.com. We'll be back with more of this amazing conversation next on the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory.
It's a great time to get a great deal on a new car when you get approved for an auto loan from PenFed. Our Powered by True Car rates are as low as 1.39% APR on new vehicles. Finance for a longer term to lower your monthly bill. Plus, take up to 60 days to schedule your first payment. Join PenFed, and together, we'll keep you moving forward. Anyone can apply. Visit PenFed.org/auto or call 1-800-247-5626. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
For McDonald's, CBU, and Davis Allen Advertising, this is Aroma, $2 6-piece McNugget, 30-second radio, ID number MCLQ 847320R.
Hey, we haven't even pulled away from the drive-thru and you're already digging in the McDonald's bag.
Aw, babe, just a few.
All right, I guess I can't blame you. Pass me some, too.
The smells too good to get it all the way home meal. There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
And now your favorite spicy chicken McNuggets are back. Get a 6-piece, spicy or classic, for just $2, only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
She's a great guest.
And since she's a woman of faith, woman of God, and she's been healed from the virus, you could say that she's been COVID by the blood.
Oh, no. You've got to get one in, right? One per episode.
Yeah.
That's good. That's pretty good, actually.
Trademark that and put it on a t-shirt. That might be my retirement plan.
There you go. All right. I love it.
So we mentioned, I think before we started recording, that you're also working on your own devotional writing. Mm-hmm. It. What's your audience, and what is going to be the message as part of what you're writing?
Well, I can say my audience is really for anyone who's interested in learning how to hear God again, because I think that's probably my testimony. But I think probably women will connect with it more, just because I am one. And remember I told you that I'd been kind of opening myself up creatively, rather, mm-hmm. Since last year. And so last year I actually started writing song lyrics. Okay. So I'm not musical. I played guitar when I was a little girl, but I'm really not musical, so I can't write music. But God began giving me these words. And so you can call it poetry, I guess, but I'm writing them like song lyrics. And so I've been working on that. And then after that, I wanted to keep using, you know, this writing in his honor. And so I started working on the devotional. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find some examples of narrative that I think most people can relate to, where there's a lesson that most people can relate to, but understanding that you have to just listen to the word that he's giving you. Mm-hmm. And go back and read his word. I grew up Catholic, and I always say this, and I'm not blaming the Catholic faith at all, but typically, most Catholics don't spend a whole lot of time in the Bible, and I just think it's different than, I think, what you'd call a Bible church or maybe some other faiths.
Mm-hmm.
Again, casting no blame, that was on me. So it took me a while, I think, to decide to really spend time in the Word, and I'm finding that so important and so incredibly rewarding now. I wished I had done more of it. I mean, I'm sure that I probably read the Bible a little bit more in Catholic school, because I did go to Catholic school. But just going to church every Sunday, we would hear a reading, we would reflect on it, obviously, and then, we'd we'd go about our business. Mm-hmm. But reading during the week, going to additional either small groups or going to additional trainings to learn more about the Bible and what he is trying to tell us. You know, the small group revolution did not come until later. When I was growing up and going to school, we really didn't have, and going to church, we really didn't have small groups. And so, you know, that revolution has come now, and we need to fully take advantage of it because we can really learn so much, if we find the right small group. And I know now that even Catholic and Episcopal churches are embracing the idea of the small group, which I think is great because we can learn from each other as long as we center on the word.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we did talk about, you know, what would be the best one to kind of get to know you. What has been your favorite episode of Positively Joy so far? Excluding mine, of course.
Yeah, but I know. Gosh, okay, hold on. So I'm going to go to positivelyjoy.com and I'm just going to look because I love them all. I'm a one-woman show, so I spend a lot of time with it. I do the recording and then I edit it and, you know, post it and write the intros and outros and all of that. So I spend a lot of time with each episode. Mm-hmm. One more recent, well, I will tell you another one. So I like to just be really quirky. Mm-hmm. And so we did the Hamilton thing. I'm a bit of a pop culture fan and I didn't grow up reading comic books, but there is a superhero named Daredevil. Mm-hmm. So if you are in the Marvel or the, I don't want to get it wrong because people get mad at me. I think this is the Marvel universe. Daredevil is a character who is Catholic. He believes in God. He is Catholic. He goes to Catholic church, but he also is a superhero. So he fights people. He tries not to kill anybody because that would go against his values. But at some point he's having a really hard time. There's a kingpin, an evil kingpin, who's really doing a lot of bad things to the city. He has a crisis of faith in the middle of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's really interesting. So I got a couple of Christian comic book experts to come on the show. And we talked about Daredevil and we talked about his crisis of faith and what he believes and what we can learn from that. That was so much fun. That episode went over an hour and I had to break it into two parts.
Okay. There you go.
I try to do not the normal thing when I can, if I have an opportunity. I talked to a woman who she bakes and she worships. She calls her kitchen her second prayer room. She's a Christian, but she's very interested in and follows the Jewish tradition of Sabbath. And so on Fridays, she celebrates Sabbath, even though she's Christian and she believes in Jesus. I mean, 100%. But she bakes the challah bread and they pray and they worship. And it's just amazing. And it's something that I really, if I can find the time to do this, and, you know, we can always find the time. I need to make the time. Mm-hmm. I would think that that'd be a great thing to do, kind of end your week or begin your weekend either way. I mean, that's the kind of Friday night that, you know, teenagers probably wouldn't think it'd be a cool thing, but I think that would be a great Friday night to have your freshly baked challah bread, take communion, and to worship with your loved ones. And so she does that. And that was a great show too.
Absolutely. That sounds like, and that's something, like you said, you have to make the time to do. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to fill the time and like, I don't have it. Yeah, you have it. You just got to shift some things. And of course, nowadays, you know, the kids would be calling it challah bread.
Exactly. She says it's her hallelujah night. There you go. Lots of puns here.
Awesome. So we've got your links to the podcast, your website in the show notes. But there are two segments that we do to wrap up every interview. The first one is called the interrogation.
Oh, boy. And
what happens is I'll give you seven random questions, things that probably didn't fit anywhere else in the interview, just to get to know you a little bit better. And then at the end, I'll ask you for your wise counsel for anybody that wants to use their gifts for God's glory. Mm. So first thing, the interrogation, first question is going to be, let's say someone has never heard of or been to your hometown there in Norman, Oklahoma. Okay. What do they need to know about Norman, Oklahoma? What makes it special?
So first of all, so it's not my hometown. My hometown's Chicago.
Okay.
But either way, I can talk about Norman. I've been here for probably 4 years, and it's a smaller town, but it's a college town because the University of Oklahoma is here. I would say that most people would probably tell you to go to Campus Corner, where there's lots of great, there's great places, shops and restaurants and things like that. And that's true. But I would say in downtown Norman, there's a main street in Norman, Oklahoma. And there are also some really great places just to get away. I'd say my favorite coffee shop is Gray Owl. Gray Owl is the name of it. And my husband loves that place. So we go in there. There's lots of couches and just, it's a very chill vibe where you can get coffee and some pastries. There's bicycles hung on the wall. It's brick, brick wall type of thing. And sometimes we'll go there. A lot of students will go there to study. That'd be a great place to take your Bible to and have a latte. So I'd say some of the fun shops on Main Street. And Norman is the kind of place where there's a lot of people who have independent businesses. And so, especially during this time, I'd say definitely support your independent businesses.
All right, question number two. What Christmas or birthday gift as a child do you remember most fondly?
Okay, well, I remember, I don't know if it's fondly, but I have a story for you. So there was a doll that I wanted so much. I don't even remember the name of the doll. I was very, very young. I was maybe under 5, but I remember this. And so I really wanted this doll. And so I believed in Santa still at that time. And so wake up in the morning and I don't have the doll. But my mother tells me that, she tells me this long story. So Santa came and we always put out, milk and cookies, or actually we did hot chocolate and cookies. And so Santa came and she heard him. So she got up and he was putting the gifts out and she gave him, the cookies and stuff. And then she turned on the stereo. Like, why would you do that, Mom? But she turned on the stereo and Santa was dancing and having some fun. And then he tripped and he fell and sat on my doll that was in a chair and broke it. And so he had to take the doll back to the North Pole. And that's what happened. So first of all, when that happened, it made no sense to me, even at that young age, because I was like, why would he's too busy. He's got too much to do, Mom. Why would you turn the radio on or the stereo on to make him dance, right? And then I just, so I think that was the end, coming toward the end of my belief in Santa, because it just didn't make any sense. And I never got the doll.
Oh, man.
Well, that's my story.
You learned at a young age, if you're going to tell a lie, too many details are going to ruin it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Because you're like, wait, I didn't hear music last night.
I know. And even if I slept through it, like, why? Why, Mom? Why?
All right, question number three. If you could, what would you love to tell 15-year-old you as you started high school?
Oh, well, as I started high school, I would just say treasure, and even 15-year-old me had probably stopped. That relationship with God had probably begun to lessen. So I would probably tell myself to hold on to that and read your Bible. Because I was not in the Word like I should have been at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so question number four. What movie or movies could you watch over and over without ever getting tired of them?
Okay, so I have two. Okay. And they're kind of hard to find, I think. So one is The Red Shoes. It's based on the Hans Christian Andersen story about the ballerina who loves to dance, but she puts on these enchanted red shoes and they dance her to death. Mm. It's a beautifully made film. It's European. It's by The Archers. That was a filmmaking company at that time. Maybe set in the 40s, beautiful, beautiful choreography. And it has a 15-minute ballet dance in the middle of the film. And that's where she's actually dancing the red shoes. It's got to be like 15 straight minutes. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And then my second one is Harold and Maude. It's a very unusual love story about a young man who focuses on death. He's just very death-centered. He's always performing these kind of fake suicides. He's just totally obsessed with death. He meets an old woman. She's probably in her 70s, maybe, who is totally obsessed with life. And so they have this friendship. And then at the end, I won't say what happened at the end. But anyway, I won't say what happens. But it's very unusual and quirky, and it's not for everybody. I'll just put that out there. But I love this idea that someone's focused on death, and then she's focused on life. And toward the end, she tries to make him appreciate life. Nice. So, yep, those are my two.
All right, so number five, what's the last scripture that either challenged or changed you?
So there's a scripture that I love and that I've said for a while, but I think I really tried to understand it more, and especially how we were talking about, you know, just don't just take the phrase. You need to understand the context of it. And so that's in Psalm, and it's Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. So be still and know that I am God is something that, yeah, I mean, I really like to think that I know that I can just rest and I can let him take care of things. But again, let's look at the context. So this is, again, this is in Psalm. And so if you go back to verse 8, it says, let's even go to 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease. Sorry. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So while I still love that, but you know, God is, he's a good father, but he also is resolute with some things, you know, he is strong and almighty, and yes, he can do all these things. And sometimes sometimes there's desolation, but then other times, you know, there's joy, and we just have to know that through it all that he is God, and we just need to deal with that.
Yeah. He's a good father who sometimes ain't afraid to pull off the belt and you straighten us out a little bit.
So true. Take you out to the whooping shed.
There you go. Sometimes he makes us go pick out our own switch.
There you go. Yes.
All right. So question number 6, who is on your playlist right now?
My playlist is YouTube. I listen to a lot of music on YouTube, and you know, I just pick out the YouTube Christian, contemporary Christian. So, you know, Hillsong, and you know, I really love, and this is, I guess this is not so new now, but the relatively new, I think is Zach Williams and Dolly Parton.
Oh yeah.
I love that song. When I very first heard it, like the very first time I heard it, I thought, yeah, that's okay. That's good. But I don't know. I've been listening to it more and more, and I love that song. I love that song. And I mean, I know how it goes, but I don't know the real title of it. There is Jesus.
Yeah. There was Jesus. And what impresses me is that at 70 plus years old, there's that one part where Dolly just wails. And it's like, how is she still able to do that?
I know. I haven't watched it yet, but Dolly has a documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
And so that's something I'm going to check out. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I will.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And final question of the interrogation. If it could be anybody, any period of time, no limitation, whose story would you most like to tell on Positively Joy?
Oh, wow. Okay. I should have known this was coming. But that's actually a really good question. Whose story? Other than Jesus, whose story? You know, I know Peter's story, and this is why. So last year when I got back into the Bible and I started reading, actually, we'll go before that because I actually love Bible journaling, which we didn't talk about, but I'm a big Bible journaler. And I started actually going back to the Word when I began to do this Bible journaling. And basically that is journaling in your Bible and creating artwork. Just Google Bible journaling. You'll see a whole bunch of stuff. Okay. So when I started that, and that's probably been 3 years now, I started going back into the Word. And what really got me was, okay, here we have the apostles, and they spend this time with Jesus. Oh my goodness, right? They witnessed all these wonderful things. They gained power they never had. And then he's gone. And then they're left to themselves to carry on this Word, and how difficult that must have been. Mm-hmm. And then Peter, who made some mistakes at the end of the Gospels, but who completely redeemed himself in Acts. After Acts, you don't hear from him again, except in two relatively small books, 1st and 2nd Peter. And then you hear in other books that he has been crucified upside down, I believe, mm-hmm. and that he's been martyred. He's been martyred for his faith. But I want to know Peter's story. That is the story I would like to tell, because I'm fascinated with that.
The thing that when I've preached before and I love about Peter's story is that he denied Jesus 3 times. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, before Jesus ascended the final time, he gave Peter 3 times to confirm and reaffirm his love for Jesus.
Yes, he did.
And it was like, and I think that so many people miss that Jesus intentionally asked him 3 different times. Well, for 3 different purposes, but 3 times he got Peter a chance to redeem himself and to be redeemed. So I love that story about Peter. And I also think it's funny that Peter doesn't change, because there's still a point, I think, in Acts where Paul has to correct him.
Yeah.
But you can't deny Peter had a passion, and he had a zeal, and he had a fire, and God knew exactly who he was picking when he picked that fisherman.
Exactly. And it's interesting to me, because when I didn't know as much as I know now, and I do not know everything, I would have guessed that Peter would have been the Paul of the New Testament, that we would have heard from Peter. I mean, he spent all this time with Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And then he's a flawed individual, and he was able to redeem himself. I mean, can you imagine if Peter had written as much as Paul? But God, we think we know better. You know, God knows better. And, of course, Paul had this amazing conversion, and Paul writes just about, the majority of the New Testament. But because there's some holes in the Peter story, that is, I would love to have Peter on my show.
I think that would be an awesome interview. Mm-hmm. That was our interrogation. Final question I ask every guest is, if there's somebody out there listening and they want to know, how do I use the gifts, my talents, my passions in a way to serve God and his people, what would your wise counsel be?
Mm-hmm. Don't doubt. So first of all, don't doubt. You probably have a gift that you don't even think you can use in God's glory. For me, it was relatively easy. I'm a writer. I've written all my life. I'm a communicator. How come I didn't figure that out before, right? But I think there's a lot of people who have gifts who might wonder, I'm in the service industry, or I'm this or whatever. You know, they can't figure that. So I would say, number one, ask God, pray, listen. Open your ears, listen, for he who has ears to hear. Spend some time, focusing on this. And Google. There's a lot of people doing really interesting things out there. And, the internet can be a bad place, but it can be a good place, too. There's a lot of really interesting stories that are being told. And you might find some people who are doing some really interesting things that you may want to do. Listen to plenty of podcasts, read blogs about, read Christian blogs and see what people are doing. But I think doubt gets in the way. So that'd be my wise counsel. Don't doubt.
Awesome. Well, you've made it through. You survived the interrogation and putting up with me for another hour. So hopefully it wasn't too painful to deal with me for 2 different shows.
No, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Thanks so much, Dave.
Absolutely. Yvette Walker, she is the host of Positively Joy. Links in the show notes. Check it out. It's a great show and great conversations, as well as great diving into the Word with Angel reading the Word and also the solo show. So be sure to check it out. And Yvette, thank you again for being on the Gifts for Glory podcast.
You are welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
Are you looking for a speaker for your next event? A guest pastor to fill in and give your staff a break? A moving testimony to share the hope found in Christ alone? For this and more, our host Dave Ebert is now taking bookings to share his testimony, his love of laughter, and the joy of the Lord with your audience. For information, contact booking@giftsforglory.com. booking@gifts4glory.com. booking@giftsforglory.com.
For McDonald's, CBU, and Davis Allen Advertising, this is Aroma, $2 six-piece McNugget, 30-second radio, ID number MCLQ 847320R.
Hey, we haven't even pulled away from the drive-thru and you're already digging in the McDonald's bag.
Aw, babe, just a few.
All right, I guess I can't blame you. Pass me some, too.
The smells too good to get it all the way home meal. There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
And now your favorite spicy chicken McNuggets are back. Get a six-piece, spicy or classic for just $2, only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.